but I couldn't not share this with you today. I did want to just give you a brief update on my ministry. When my husband Ray died last summer, I had planned to just pack up my guitars and forget the ministry and just, I didn't even want to get out of bed. But the Lord, and we had planned to go full-time, and we were just launching to go full-time ministry. And I thought, I had really misjudged the Lord, and I had misjudged my call, and I thought, how could I have been so wrong? And I took a couple of months, 3 or 4 months, to really pray about it and sort of see, because I still felt called to do and share my gift of music and working in the prisons. And the Lord had opened up doors. Since Ray was a pastor, we were able to go into the main state prison system, including some local county jails, and minister Bible studies, Sunday morning services. And I thought, how am I going to do that by myself? Well, the Lord opened up a lot of other ministries that go in, called me and asked me to join them and come in with them. So not only am I now able to go back into all the facilities where Ray and I used to go, but I'm also able to do a women's Bible study at the local Two Bridges County Jail down in Wiscasset near where I live. And I do that once a week. And I am having a background check done for going into the Kennebec facility in Augusta, which is huge. I mean, these are things that, you know, I hadn't even thought of. So I feel the Lord has called me into full-time ministry. I'm trying to raise support. I've sent letters out to churches like this one who support me. You guys are fantastic. And just the Lord is really blessing. So I just want to thank you for your prayers, most of all. In my the jail Bible study that I have on Tuesdays, I talk to about 11 girls that come out once a week. They're faithful to come unless they have rehab or some other class that they're doing, the GED. They do a lot of that in there. And they always come back, and they're very curious about the Bible. They're so young. They're like 18, 19, 20 years old. Heroin addicts, a lot of them. And I had one heroin addict tell me that she thought God was probably working in her life, but when she gets out, she might shoot heroin again a little bit because maybe he's trying to form her life, you know, and eventually she'll get off heroin. And I said, no, no, that's not how God works. So when I went in this past week, she said, I have a new place to live. And she said, I don't think God wants me doing heroin anymore. And we were just praying, and just they're so curious. They're asking so many questions. So it's just been great. It's been really awesome. But I wanted to share Romans 5 with you, verses 1 to 8, that Jerry read. And by the way, thank you, Jerry, and your beautiful wife for, sorry, I forgot your name.
Linda.
Linda. For holding down the fort while Pam and Earl are away, and just you do incredible work. So thank you so much for that. You are loved. That's the message this morning. This is encouragement for the tough times when we think that God's not around, and He is. He's already done the work. We don't have to worry and strive and try to work our way into heaven. He's already done it for us. This was written by the Apostle Paul to a church in Rome, probably about 56 AD, not too long after Christ was crucified and rose again. And these are just so rich. I've broken it up into three sections, verses 1 through 3. I just wanted to touch on a few points here. Says that we've been justified by faith. Justified just means we've been made righteous. I'm not going to get into too much theology here, but we've been made righteous because of the Lord, because of His work on the cross, and through faith, the faith that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the completer of our faith. We don't have to worry about making up our faith on our own, because frankly we don't have it in us. Hebrews 12:2, it talks about Jesus giving us the faith that we need. So even that is a gift. And through all that, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, which is just incredible. We are reconciled to Him. He's no longer our enemy. He no longer holds our sins against us. It's a reality. It's not just fluffy talk. Oh, I have peace with God. You know, I feel good today. No, we have actual peace because of what Jesus did on the cross. Again, by faith that Jesus gives us, we have access to grace, to Jesus' grace, the grace that he pours out. I heard my pastor say that grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense, which I thought was a good way to remember grace. God's riches at Christ's expense for what he did for us. We have access to this grace in which we stand. It's a firm position. We're standing in this grace. He's given us the ability to stand and watch him work through all these trials and tribulations. Again, through faith, Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Again, we seek, Jesus gives, he gives us the faith, he completes our faith, he walks us through this faith walk that we are living in our journey. Then it gets really good. Then we rejoice in hope. We are for the glory of God, which sounds really good. We're rejoicing in hope. I don't know about Louise, but I'm still looking for some joy in my life after Ray died, and it's been hard, but with God's grace, there are happy times, there are joyful times. And hope is a really interesting word here. Hope, in the New Testament, in the Greek, when they wrote about hope, 65% of the time, it's a noun. It's not something that we do. We're not hoping. It's not wishful thinking like we think of it. It's a sure thing, the hope of God, the hope of the glory of God, the hope of heaven. It's, to them, writing this, it was a sure thing, which was really cool. It's solid. It's something that we can bet our lives on and put our lives on. Again, in Hebrews 6:19, our hope is the anchor of our soul. It's a sure and steadfast. When we can't see the road up ahead, when we can't see what God's doing, when we don't understand what's going on in our lives, we have that anchor, that hope. Jesus is good. Jesus died for us. You know, he knows what he's doing, and we can trust that. Sure and steadfast. And I don't know about you, but I can use that kind of hope today, because coming up in verse 3 and verse 4, we're not immune to life's troubles. We're not immune to the struggles and the sufferings of life. Verse 3, we also glory in sufferings. And I have a note in my Bible, huh? Who glories in suffering? Are you kidding? Suffering, trials, troubles, pressure. The word is actually means like squeezing grapes. This is the pressure that we're under sometimes at work, in our marriages, in just day-to-day living, when life throws you a curveball with cancer or any kind of your kids going the wrong way. We're supposed to glory in that because there's a little word in here that says we glory in tribulations, knowing that suffering produces perseverance. And we know is an important word. We understand that God is good. We understand that he's got the big picture in mind. He knows what's going to be happening. And we also know that he doesn't allow suffering for just any reason. There's a purpose to our suffering. There's a purpose that he has. He sees the end result. He sees the plan that he has for us. Jeremiah 29 talks about the plans that God has. And he sees how he wants to make us into that person that he's created us to be. In Jeremiah 29, he talked in 11 through 14, this is God speaking. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope," there's that hope word again, "and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." So God isn't hiding from us, trying to make us guess what he's going to do. He's not torturing us for no reason just because he enjoys torturing us. He's not that kind of a God. He wants us to understand that the suffering that we have is for a reason, and that he has a plan in mind through the suffering. That's really important to me lately, because there are days when I don't want to get out of bed, and there's times when I just don't want to be here, and I want to just go home to heaven. But I know that I know that he is bigger than that, and he's able to give me the faith to go on, to give me the perseverance and the hope and the joy to go on through tribulations and suffering, which I'm sure he does for you. So we remember that God's in control, even in the suffering that he allows. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Again, it's something that God does. We don't have to struggle and strive to have love in our heart for people that we don't really love, you know, but we're called to love them. God gives us that love. He gives us that grace. He pours it out in our heart through his Holy Spirit, who he also gives to us. He gives us his Holy Spirit. And again, these beautiful verses in 6 through 8 of when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely would a righteous man would one die. Perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still weak, Christ died for us. I don't know about you, I have two sons, I have twin boys. I would not have them die for ungodly sinners. I would not have them suffer in any way for someone who I didn't even, you know, care about. But God sent his son to die for us so that we could be reconciled to him. And Jesus came willingly. He wasn't forced on the cross. He said, I lay down my life and I take it up again. So there are all these great gifts of what Christ does for us. He makes us righteous. He gives us faith to believe. He gives us peace with himself. He gives us access by faith into his grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. He gives us joy and hope through the sufferings that he allows. And he works through us to turn us into the people that he wants us to be through endurance, through patience. And if you pray for patience, you're going to get a trial, because that's how it works. So be careful what you pray for. To give us hope, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He is always with us in the trials. We don't have to go through it alone. He pours out his love on the cross. And it says God demonstrates his love for us. That's an action word. God demonstrates his love. He shows us how much he loves us by sending his son. John 3:16, that beautiful verse that Jesus told Nicodemus, at night. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved you that he gave. It's an action word. And I would just challenge you as we go out today that you would pour out your love for people that you come into contact with on the slopes or wherever you in the store. That your love is poured out, because we are so loved, we can love others. And let's put our love and faith into action. So I just want to thank you very much.